Welcome to the Talking Biotech Podcast. It's the weekly podcast about agriculture and medicine with an emphasis on biotechnology and the good things we can do for people and the planet. I'm Kevin Folta. I'm a professor at the University of Florida, and I'm joined today with Modesta Abugu. Hi, Modesta.
Hi, Kevin. Nice to be here again.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to do this with you. You know, you're such a ray of sunshine around here, and it makes me very happy to have you on the podcast. And I look forward to the day when you can host them on your own.
I really look forward to it. I can't wait.
Not that it's always wonderful to sit with you and do this, but at the same time, I love watching you do more and more as a scientist and as a communicator, and it makes me excited that we have this opportunity.
Yeah, that's
so who are we talking to today?
So we are talking to Arif Hossain. Arif is the CEO and Executive Director of Farming Future Bangladesh.
Yeah, so Farming Future of Bangladesh, and this is a Bill and Melinda Gates-sponsored initiative in Bangladesh, and he'll tell us more about what it is. So welcome to the podcast, Arif.
Thank you, Falta. Yeah, welcome. Thank you all, and you and Modesta for having me in this podcast.
No, it's very nice to talk to you again. It's been a long time. But if you could tell me, you know, let's start out with some very general ideas. Now, the Brinjal and Bangladesh have been a topic on the podcast several times already, going all the way back to episode 48 several years ago with Dr. Tony Shelton. We did an update earlier this year, but I'd like to get from you more of a sense of what is actually happening there on the ground right now, because it seems to be a very hot topic. So let's start with, what is Brinjal to begin with?
So as you all know that brinjal, which is known as eggplant, is one of the most popular vegetable crop in Bangladesh. And it's been here for long, and to many of the scientists, they claim that brinjal has the center of origin in Bangladesh. It has a lot of fiber, folic acid, vitamin and magnesium and potassium content in it. So it's a high value like a vegetable crop, considering the nutrient. And in Bengali, we call it begun.
Oh, thank you, Arif. Obviously, the food has a lot of nutritional content. We would like to know how many people depend on this food in their diet. Is it used more for livestock or for humans?
So Modesta, to tell you that brinjal is a vegetable crop, and it's not a staple food, but it's very important vegetable crop in Bangladesh, and almost whole year round we eat it. We eat it for different like cuisine and different food, but it's not a staple food. It's a vegetable crop.
Well, who are the farmers that grow it, Arif? Are they smallholder farmers, or are these massive industrial farms?
So as eggplant or brinjal is consumed by human being, it's mostly grown by local smallholder farmer. And the idea of farmer is quite different than the farmer you have in California or in most of the like Western country, that a farmer has his own farm. And in addition to that, they have a processed unit or a export unit with that. But in our country, most of the farmer, they occupy small amount of land. Particularly people who grow vegetable, they have a smaller amount of land. Because rice is our main staple, and only a handful of people actually grow vegetable crop. According to our local data, around 46% people are involved in agricultural profession. But a very few of them are involved in vegetable production. So the last information that we had from ISA that around 150,000 farmers cultivate brinjal in Bangladesh.
Is it also exported?
No, it's not exported. I mean, mostly it's consumed by the local, community.
So if this is so something that is not in a big industrial product, it's consumed by local farmers, smallholder farmers, but what are the major problems that they face? What are some of the major production barriers?
So, you know, like unlike other vegetable crop, this brinjal plant or eggplant requires a lot of care, including like irrigation, fertilization, and there are a lot of like pest attack that affects the production of brinjal, particularly eggplant fruit and shoot borer insect, which is devastating to brinjal. Other than that, there are other like disease of the crop, like bacterial wilt or leaf spot, you know, and spider attack, and sometime any other additional disease that attack the crop. But mostly, most of the farmer, they think and they find that eggplant fruit and shoot borer insect is the devastating, threatening, you know, like a pest disease for eggplant production in Bangladesh.
So what are the pest control practices that these farmers use, and how effective has it been?
So, I mean, as a preventive measure against brinjal fruit and shoot borer, farmers use large quantities of chemical insecticide. And sometimes they use other toxic chemical pesticides to protect the plant from pest attack. And eggplant has a limited time scale. So during that time span, farmers spray pesticide about 80 to 100 times to protect the plant from pest attack. And this is like around, you know, like 40 to 50% of their crop, produced crop, are damaged due to pest attack. And to stop that damage or to protect that damage, they had to spray pesticide such a, you know, like amount of time. And that affects their like production cost. So yeah, this is the only solution they have currently. And very recently, in last few years, the new eggplant variety, which is known as BT eggplant, has been a tremendous success for the farmer, because now they don't need to spray any pesticide for fruit and shoot borer insect. This way they can save their time and production cost. But as I said earlier, that eggplant also gets attack from other disease like wilting, or maybe spider attack, or aphid, and other pests. So for those kind of pests, it requires spraying pesticide 2 to 3 times in a particular season, which is like almost nothing in comparison to what conventional farmers do. So now farmers can have a better option to grow eggplant without spraying pesticide 80 to 100 times in their field.
Yeah, and I guess maybe a good question is, if you have your family's field and your family's crop, that the tendency may be to overprotect, because you have to protect this. It's your family's livelihood. Is that an accurate assessment, that people maybe even use more insecticide than they should because this is their family's crop?
It's really very true. See, I mean, I am from Bangladesh and I have traveled across the country. I know many farmers. I have seen many fields that was devastated overnight. A few months ago, I traveled in a field. I saw a BT eggplant field and a non-BT eggplant field very close to them. But the non-BT eggplant field, the farmer didn't spray pesticide for a week. And within a week, around 1200 to 1500 plant of the field was, you know, like completely damaged by fruit and shoot borer insect. So when I asked the farmer that what happened to the field, he told me that I forgot to spray in a week, and the next week I came in the field, I found everything attacked by fruit and shoot borer. And even now, if I spray, I won't get any crop or any plant in good shape. So I left my field, I stopped taking care of it, and it's a lot of like financial loss for the farmer. because there are many farmers who depend on their like small, you know, like outcome and product they get from the field and the price they get from that. With that amount of money, they had to manage all their like expense of their family, education for the child, healthcare and everything. So any kind of like negative impact definitely brings a lot of drawback to their financial stability. That's why most of the farmers don't like to take any risk. And having that fear in their mind, sometimes they overspray some pesticide and they don't follow the instruction of the pesticide company while they are spraying it.
Now, I think that I would feel the same way. It's very difficult for me to think as someone in a, you know, in the industrialized world who has access to food very regularly and a diversity of food, that if it was my only resource, you know, for my family and for my income, that I wouldn't overprotect and do anything I could to protect that crop, including maybe using too much of an insecticide. And so that's always something I like to clear up. We'll take a break here. I'm sitting here with Modesta Abugu. We're here speaking with Arif Hossein, who is the CEO and Executive Director of Farming Future Bangladesh. And we're talking about the BT eggplant and its role in Bangladesh agriculture. This is the Talking Biotech Podcast, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Tune into the podcast on Saturday, August 17, 2019. It's the 200th episode of the Talking Biotech Podcast. Science. One day after Elvis' death day, more guests sharing their solutions for people and the planet. Gene editing to cure animal disease.
New therapies for cancer and viral disorders.
Next generation crop technologies for sustainable farming.
CRISPR Cas9.
Screaming out of the gate with new technologies in the race to feed 10 billion people.
Hydrogen crops, less resource dependence, fewer pesticides, and more sustainability. Biotechnology.
Countering disinformation that generates fear, uncertainty, and doubt that is impending technology from reaching the industrialized world farmer and the food insecure. Saturday, August 17, 2019, the 200th episode of the Talking Biotech Podcast. TalkingBiotechPodcast.com.
TalkingBiotechPodcast.com.
And now we're back on the Talking Biotech Podcast. We're talking with Arif Hossein, who is the CEO and Executive Director of Farming Future Bangladesh. And his role is in helping to promote and distribute and communicate around the future of genetic engineering solutions for Bangladesh. And I'm sitting here with Modesta Abugu, who is a graduate student here at the University of Florida. Hi, Modesta. So good so far?
Yeah, it's going well. learning a lot about Brinjal in Bangladesh. Yeah, it's really good that, farmers who depend on some of these crops, it's good that there are innovations that can help them address some of these challenges. And I look forward to hearing more about that from Arif.
Well, very good. Do you consume brinjal in Nigeria?
Most of the brinjal that we see is imported. It's not really a vegetable that we grow that much in Nigeria. Although we have something related to brinjal, and we call it garden egg. It has the shape of the brinjal, but it's a little smaller. So we use the garden eggs for most traditional ceremonies. It's like a traditional fruit that they serve in events.
The garden egg. That is so cool. Okay. Well, I have eggplants I grow at home. Actually, my wife grows at home that are just like eggs. They're very white, but that's true. If you look in Bangladesh or India, there's a massive diversity of this crop. And we did a podcast on this earlier at one point too. For those who are interested, tremendous diversity in this thing we call eggplant or brinjal. Mm-hmm. But back to Arif Hossein. I guess really the next question is, let's talk about the biotechnology innovation that was presented to Bangladesh. What exactly was that innovation?
You know that the BT gene, which was inserted in BT eggplant, has been widely used by organic industry or other farmers for more than like 50 years. So BT gene is known as the Bacillus thuringiensis. So one gene from BT, which we call Cry1AC gene, was inserted in four BT eggplant varieties of Bangladesh. And this BT eggplant, they can grow kind of like a protein that protects the crop from fruit and shoot borer insect. Initially, this product has been, developed by a public research institute in Bangladesh. And the seeds has been produced by public research institute and distributed within the, farmers of Bangladesh. So all the research and findings that were done in Bangladesh were conducted following all the, procedure of local law and protocol, and with the all safety measurement. And it has a rigorous procedure of approval. When it was approved in 2013, it took a lot of effort for the scientists to get it approved. And since then it has been in the field.
Arif, what was the approval process in this BT brinjal? Wasn't it first approved in India before it came to Bangladesh, or it was first in Bangladesh before it went to India?
So back in 2000, the expert of South Asia region, they sat together and they identified few crop which would be helpful both for Asian and African farmers. And in that consultation, they formed a network, a platform. Through that, they started developing the, variety, like eggplant, blight-resistant potato, rice, cassava, banana, and few other crop. And then when the time came to get the things released for farmers, then India, Bangladesh, and Philippines, all three countries, they were progressing with the similar timeline and time frame. And India were ahead of Bangladesh in getting the crop approved. But unfortunately, the activist, anti-GM activist in India, they started, campaigning that BT brinjal shouldn't be released in India. And they filed the case, and during that time, the Indian government, particularly the Minister Jairam Ramesh, he and all the anti-GM activists together put a halt to the crop. And the same group, they came to Bangladesh and they have their connection and, ally in Bangladesh. They filed a case against BT brinjal to stop it. And the court asked for all the scientific information from the scientist in Bangladesh, from the research institute. And the scientists, they submitted all the information. The antis had a lot of they had a list of claim. They were claiming that BT brinjal was harmful for health, BT brinjal was not good, it may bring negative impact to our environment. So the court asked both the scientist and the anti-GM activist for information. So the scientist provided all the information they had from the study, from the long study they were having it since 2003. But the anti-GM activists, they failed to provide any information to back up their claim. Then court gave the decision that, okay, BT brinjal is safe. You can go for, limited cultivation of the crop. And in 2013, in October of 2013, the government of Bangladesh, the Environment Ministry, they approved it. In 2014, the Minister of Agriculture, Mathia Chaudhary, she provided seedling to 20 farmers, and from that it's growing, and the farmers started growing it from that time.
Your agriculture minister, what was her name again, and was it her decision to really take leadership and say, this is something I want for my country?
Yes, I would definitely say that it was a strong political commitment from our country that they took the leadership in Southeast Asia to promote biotech crop. And Minister Motia Chaudhary, despite having a lot of pressure from different like international entities, she took the stance that this crop should be released and biotech crop should be, you know, like promoted. You know, like because we have more than 160 million people and only 8 million hectares of arable land. So we can't compromise that our people will go empty stomach each and every night. So we need to have that, you know, like national level strategy that any innovation which is beneficial for farmers and for the people should be accepted and should be promoted. So Minister Motia Chaudhary took a strong stance and she debunked all the misinformation and myth and all the noise which was like more powerful in India, but they couldn't bring it to smack down our, you know, like scientists to progress more. But the, you know, like path of BT Brinjal was not very smooth because it had to go through the court. And even when farmers started growing it during 2014 and 15, the anti-GM activists, they were meeting the farmer, talking with them. They were misguiding them. Some of the farmers that I know, they say that the activists went to them and asked them not to take care of the crop. And they were saying that if they consume BT brinjal, I mean, if the farmers consume BT eggplant or brinjal, it might make them blind or their future generation will have deformed physical structure due to having, you know, like genetically engineered food crop in their food system. So all this negative information they were trying to push in the community to stop it.
Good thing these farmers now have access to this BT brinjal. So how have they been responding to growing this brinjal?
So I can cite one fantastic example of a farmer that I met in one of the district in Bangladesh from Tangail. His name is Mr. Hafiz. So the anti-GM activist asked him that, Hafiz, you shouldn't go BT eggplant because it contains some harmful, you know, like chemical in it, because pest never eats BT eggplant. Fruit and shoot borer pest doesn't attack it. Then Hafiz replied the activist that we consume drug and medicine for healing our, you know, like disease, and germs die in our body after taking medicine. We don't die. So these are the like simple example that farmers stated to the activist. So the best thing that farmers are having is that they have real life success in their field. They can show, they can see the difference between BT eggplant and non-BT eggplant. That's the, you know, like equation to them. When they see that their crop are performing better, they are comfortable growing it.
I guess the other question I have is that a lot of the rhetoric we see online from the anti-GMO folks, they say that the BT brinjal is a total failure and that it's failing all over the country and that it's not an effective crop. How much truth is there to that? And what are you actually seeing on the ground about increasing adoption?
Kevin, I mean, it's a very simple equation. You know, like in 2014, only 20 farmers cultivated BT eggplant. I mean, started growing it. But now we have more than 27,000 farmers. So if it were a failure for the smallholder farmer who doesn't have the liberty or opportunity to spare their small amount of land and crop to a failed technology, that's a complete lie. I mean, if it were a failure, then why should farmers are growing it until today? And the number is growing, increasing. And BT eggplant varieties, they are inbreed variety, meaning that farmers can grow their own seed. They can preserve it and they can multiply it and they can distribute it within their own community. So the numbers are actually growing very fast. the farmers are happy with the crop, and they are getting at least 5 to 6 fold income, increased income by growing BT eggplant.
And I hear India is also planning to release this brinjal to the farmers, and they are planning to take a cue from what is being done in Bangladesh.
I mean, India should. See, they have been growing BT cotton for more than 12 years now. Once they were importing cotton, but now they are in a position to export cotton and position as the like world's leading cotton exporter. They are consuming BT cotton seed well. The well extract they got from BT cotton seed, they have been consuming it for a long time. So why they are stopping, you know, like BT eggplant and not allowing farmer growing it? And very recently, the farmers are demanding BT eggplant, and they have started the protest against the, you know, like decision from the activist and from the government that that the farmers should be allowed to grow BT eggplant in India.
You mentioned earlier that there were other crops like rice and cassava and other important food staples inside Bangladesh. Is there any movement right now to get those to approval?
So Bangladesh is also growing genetically modified late blight resistant potato, golden rice, salt tolerant rice, BT cotton, and yeah, these are the few crops in development process now in the pipeline. We are expecting that with the current existing approval system, these crops will be approved in course of time. There is no specific date when it all will get approved, but our scientists, in collaboration with international, you know, like scientists and research institute, they are conducting research, and we are hopeful that soon this will all be like approved and released.
I guess to conclude, what is really the future of the BT brinjal, and maybe where else it will spread in the world? I guess, you know, we see it heading to India. What about the Philippines and other places where it may help other farmers?
I think BT brinjal is an example of a success story for rest of the world, that a crop which is developed by the country, by public research institute, which has been distributed among the smallholder farmer, farmers can grow it, can multiply it, and can get maximum benefit of the crop. With the success of BT brinjal, I believe that the scientists of other countries, our people of Bangladesh, should tell the story to other people, rest of the world, that BT brinjal is a success in Bangladesh, and rest of the world should consider it as an example of success of scientific innovation and should.
What specifically is your organization doing to help farmers and the public understand more about the BT brinjal?
So Farming Future Bangladesh is a comprehensive communications initiative. We are sharing our message through large media event. We have trained faith-based group imams. We are letting other people know that how agri-biotechnology and innovation of agricultural technology can help address the challenges that we have. We have targeted universities, public university, teachers and students for youth campaign. We are going to organize a training program for extension officials, for health and medical professional, to let them understand that the benefit of science should be, you know, like shared, and the message should be shared in the community, that people will feel comfortable about it and will have a information which is fact-based, not fiction, but based on scientific innovation and based on, you know, like proper understanding and study. So we are working robustly to let people understand that agricultural biotechnology is benefiting us and how it's going to impact to overcome our challenges for food production and for sustainability of our people and of the country.
If there was one final message that you needed to leave with our audience, what would that be?
All the biotech crops which has been developing or which is under development of Bangladesh in the pipeline, these are being developed by our own government. And all these crops, farmer can grow it, can multiply it, and can share it with their own community to share it to their own, you know, like neighboring farmer. And we gladly accepted BT Brinjal. I have been consuming BT Brinjal since 2013 when it got released. So for last 4 years or 5 years, I have been consuming BT Brinjal regularly. It's completely safe, and Indians should start growing it also, and Filipino people, they should also start growing it and let the world see that these innovations are helping people. It's not to, you know, like make any harm. And we can't afford the liberty and privilege that all the European and most of the rich people are having now with their own food cycle. We have a very limited small amount of land with a lot of people that we need to feed 3 times a day. And we can't compromise with any technological advancement. We need to go with it. And we are requesting rest of the world to allow us go with it, to help us tackle our own problem, and to help us, you know, like have these innovations accessible for the smallholder farmer. Thank you.
If people want to learn more about your organization, where should they look?
So we are, if you want to learn more about Farming Future Bangladesh, you can find us in internet. We are in Facebook, in Twitter, and we are organizing lots of events. We are seeking support from the world that science should be move on. And we need your help and support to promote our message, to share our common message across the world, to create an environment where people will understand that scientists and science is for human good and human being. Thank you.
What would be your Facebook address or a website that you want people to go to learn more about you?
So for Farming Future Bangladesh, you just need to search Farming Future Bangladesh in Facebook. And in Twitter, Farming Future Bangladesh, that's the like keyword you can search.
Thank you so much, Arif. It's a great pleasure learning from you on this very important topic. We hope to keep spreading the message on the importance of biotech innovation in Bangladesh.
Thank you, Modesta, and thank you, Dr. Kevin Falter, for having me on this podcast and giving me the opportunity to share our story. I'm inviting you both to come in Bangladesh, see the field, how farmers are growing it, and try BT Brinjal, taste it, how tasty it is, you will see in real world.
I would love that.
Sure, would love that.
Modesta and I are going to get on a plane right now. No, thank you for joining us, and thank you, Modesta, for joining me again. I really appreciate any time you give your time for this, so thank you.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine.
And thank you, listeners, for listening to another week of Talking Biotech Podcast. Write reviews on iTunes, share with friends. So many people have told me that they are excited to have found this resource, and I can't believe it took 5 years for them to find it. So please share it widely and get more people excited about the wonderful stories of science. This is the Talking Biotech Podcast, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Biotech Podcast. Send your suggestions for guests, comments, or questions to talkingbiotech@gmail.com. Please write a review of this podcast on iTunes and recommend it to a friend. More downloads help us reach a wider audience with science.